Greetings, dear friends, in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our previous message, we dealt with the subject that the Bible is the Word of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved, borne along by God the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the revelation of God's mind and will for us today. And with the Bible as our only authority, as our final authority, as our Supreme Court of decision, I'd like to ask you a question today. Who is God? If we were face to face and you could answer this question, what would you say? Who is God? In Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, Pharaoh asked a question, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" In Judges 2 and 10 we read, "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord." We read in 1 Samuel 2 and 12, "The sons of Eli knew not the Lord." I am sure today that my voice is reaching some people who know not the Lord. And if you were constrained to answer this question, you might find it difficult to say correctly, who is God? From 1 Samuel chapter 3 we read, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And perhaps you would have to phrase your answer in such a manner. From Acts chapter 17, Paul said, "I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Him I declare unto you." By the grace of God, that's our purpose today for those listeners who know not him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Him we declare unto you. Jesus himself said in the 16th of John's Gospel, "They have not known the Father, nor me." Some claim to know God the Father, but they do not know God the Son. My question, the big question for you today, who is God? Now, again, if we were conversing face to face, you might answer that by saying, well, he's the mighty God. He's the supreme being, the creator, the sustainer, the savior. You might even say he's the condemner. You might say he's the supreme being that made the world and created us. Or perhaps in the language of Isaiah, you could say he's the one whose name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You could simply say he's the Almighty One, the Creator, or the Eternal One. I'd like to share with you a definition of who God is, or perhaps more aptly called a description, by Dr. Merrill Unger. He said, "He is the one revealed in Scripture as the infinite and eternal one, purely spiritual, the supreme personal intelligence, the creator and preserver of all things, the perfect moral ruler of the universe, the only proper object of worship. He is tripersonal. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet consisting of the one Godhead." It's easier to describe him than it is to define him. For example, as to his nature, God is a spirit, John 4 and 24. He is invisible with no body, yet he can and did reveal himself to man when he became the incarnate Christ, born of the Virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, and born as the Christ child. But we can also say that God is a person, for he has many personal names, and some of those we'll consider in a few moments, time permitting. But he also has personal characteristics. For example, he has knowledge, emotions, will. God is one, according to 1 Timothy 2 and 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." We refer to God as being a Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but it describes a condition found there. For we refer to the three persons of the Godhead. We see these three persons, or three personalities, if you prefer to say it that way, in the baptism of John in Matthew chapter 3. Here John was baptizing the Lord Jesus. I said the baptism of John, but the baptism of Jesus by John in Matthew 3. And the Lord Jesus was in the water. The voice of the Father was heard from heaven, and the dove was descending, or the Spirit like a dove, the Scripture says, upon the Lord Jesus during his baptism. In the Great Commission, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all being mentioned. And the great benediction of 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, there is reference to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to make a study of this, I would encourage you to take down these Scripture verses. For the Father is called God in Romans 1 and 7. The Son, the Lord Jesus, is called God in Hebrews 1 and 8. And the Holy Spirit is identified as God in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Now, this is something that our finite, limited human brains, our limited understanding, cannot really take in. There are many ways we could illustrate it, but the fact is, God is one. And yet to reveal and convey to us his entire person, he describes himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is omnipresent. Many scriptures tell us this, but Jeremiah 23:24 is one of them. That means he can be everywhere at the same time. No one else has this ability. Not only that, he is omniscient. There is nothing hidden from him. Our God knows everything. And further, all power is given unto him. Matthew 19 and 26 tells us that this one that we know and love, this one who loves us, is omnipotent. He is without limitation. He is tremendous in power. All power is his. Psalm 90 and 2 tells us that the God that I am speaking to you about today is the eternal one. He has never had a beginning. There was never a time when he did not exist. There is no point to which we can go back and say he was created or came into being here. No, he is eternal from the past, and he is eternal in the future. He will never cease to be. And that's why, friend of mine, it is imperative, it's necessary, important, that you have a right relationship with this eternal one who knows all about you. You have never been out of his sight, and you never will be, and yet he is loving and kind and gracious and willing today to forgive you and cleanse you by the precious blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary's cross. Further, he is unchangeable. He does not change. He's not good today and bad tomorrow. He's not like us. And you can check this out in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. Bless God, the one that we represent, the one who has called every Christian to be his ambassador and given us the ministry and word of reconciliation. He is holy. Holy and reverend is his name, we read from the book of Psalms. Proverbs 9 and 26 tell us about his holiness. Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2, and many other passages throughout the Word of God. Not only is he holy, but he's just. And he will justify those that trust him, and he will justly condemn to hell those that refuse his sole and only provision for eternal life. You might want to read Psalm 119, verses 137 and 144 to read concerning how just is this Holy One who is unchangeable, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. But let me tell you something else about our God. He is love. We read in 1 John twice over, God is love. Friend of mine, not only does he love, but he is love. There are those of us who love people. We love the Lord. We love lost souls for whom he died. We love our fellow Christians. We love our families. But it said of God, not only does he love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but God is the very essence of love. God is love. God is the source of love. And friend of mine, I'd like to tell you today, if you know not the living man in the glory, the Lord Jesus, he loves you. And he provides for you his gift of eternal life. I'd just like to ask you today, Are you in love with him, the lover of your soul? We mentioned that there are many names that are ascribed to him throughout the Bible. Now, in the Old Testament, well, the New Testament too, but, for example, some Old Testament names that carry real significance with them. Oftentimes, we could tell something about a character of a man, of an individual, by the name that was given to him. For example, Joel, like the prophet, means Jehovah is God. John means Jehovah is gracious. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation, or simply Savior. Caleb means a dog, while Cain means a lance or a spear. And when we come to the names of our God, why are there so many names given to him? Well, I like to suggest that simply it's because no one name can describe or adequately convey the idea of the infinite personality or the unity of the persons of the Godhead. If we simply called him God, there would be so much that we would not know about him. Obviously, he is God. The Hebrew word for God contains the idea of creative and governing power. It suggests omnipotence and sovereignty. But when we go to the word Jehovah, which is translated Lord in so many places in our Bible, it has to do with being and life. He is the self-existent one. He doesn't depend on anyone else for his existence. When we come to the name El Shaddai, it's God Almighty. We find this in Genesis 17, in verses 1 and 2. And this has to do with the fact that our God is Almighty. The Lord Jehovah appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Friend, do you know him? I asked you in the beginning, who is he? But more important than who he is to you personally, do you know the one of whom we are speaking today? We find that he's called Jehovah Jireh in Genesis 22, which means the Lord will provide. And friend of mine, today, if you're out of Christ, he'll provide you salvation through the person and work, through the shed blood, through the redemptive power of God the Son. And he'll provide you with everything else you need as you trust him. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth, Exodus 15. Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our banner, Exodus 17. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Judges 6:24. Jehovah Raha, the Lord our shepherd, Psalm 23. Oh, I trust today you can say the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord said, can you? Jehovah said, can you, the Lord, our righteousness. Friend of mine, outside of Christ, we have no righteousness, but bless his worthy name. Jehovah said, can you, is the Lord our righteousness, imputed to us when in believing faith we turn from sin and receive God's provision, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of Calvary's cross, even the shepherd that died that we might have life abundant and life eternal. And finally, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. He has promised to every believing child, Lo, I'm with you, child of God, that is, Lo, I'm with you always, I'll never leave you. Lord willing, in our next broadcast, we'll continue on this subject of who is God. He's God the Father. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Spirit. But I trust, friend of mine, he's your God. If not, why not receive him? Experience the new birth and the joys of salvation. Be a possessor of eternal life, and the Word of God then says you can know that you have eternal life. Call us if we can be of any help. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.